now on, anyone who's ever going on a date, I want you to just be like, I'm participating in social customs tonight. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Hate Spinnerbait, the podcast where we hate spinnerbait, but we love that our Queen Sarah heard our prayers and did not touch a hair on Miss Chatham's head. She tried. She scared me for a minute, and I was about to be mad at her. But spoilies for what we'll be discussing today. But I'm very happy. We can all ever just, let's go ahead and just breathe a sigh of relief. Miss Chatham does survive this book, okay? So before we get into anything, we all know we've got that going for us, and that's needed in these times. Thank God. Yes. Thanks, my Lord. Thank you, Sarah. Hello, everyone. I am Bethany. With me, as always, is Michael Ann, February. It went faster than January. I'll give it that.
It went by in a blink.
It really did. Mm-hmm. January lasted 18 years. February, I can't believe it's almost March. It's almost your birthday. St. Patrick's Day, screaming in the woods. So we have some things to look forward to. We're doing okay. How are we doing? How's life for you?
I'm alive. Yeah. And I'm healthy for the most part. And
we love both those things.
I have a roof on my head. On my head. On your head. Right, literally placed on top of it.
So. Are you Jaden Smith? Is that what you're going with?
Oh my God. Yeah. I'm Jaden Smith now.
I love it.
The lighting in here is bad, everybody. I need to change it. I don't like what's happening.
Maybe with some different vibes. Quick. The housekeeping, which is I'm trying to be better at shouting these things out at the top of every episode. Watch us on YouTube. I've been seeing a few new viewers, a few new commenters on YouTube. I'm sorry, guys. For the only audio listeners, you missed the face you just made. But if you're watching us on YouTube, you will have seen the face you just made. So thank you to the people that have been listening to our plea. If you have the time, if you want to see our faces, cool. If not, we understand. Keep listening to us. But watch us on YouTube. My plan puts a great effort into editing, and we would appreciate some views. So that shouted that out. Second order of business. We are continuing on with our new schedule, which is every other week is Destin and then Chaos. So this is a Destin week. We will be doing the grand finale of Saint Anything. I'm so sad, but so happy at the same time. It's a bittersweet feeling. That's housekeeping summed up. We're about to jump into the book, but because it is us and because we only do chaos every other week, here's a little funny tidbit. It's funny, but not funny. But okay, the world is terrible, right? This weekend, I want to go to a hockey game because I would like to state I'm a lover, not a fighter, everyone, okay? I'm a very loving person. I'm not a violent person. Something about a hockey arena, though, brings it out in me. And the second they rip off their gloves, I'm like, let there be blood. Like, go for it. Knock his tooth out. Let's go. Like, that is the whole reason we're out there to see hockey, right? Like, it has nothing to do with the actual, like, beauty of the sport. You want to see them fight. That's like the only sport besides like boxing. It's the only sport where like allowed to fight, and all you do is like get put into a little box for 2 minutes, and they're like, you've been a bad boy, go sit in the box. And then you get to, like, it's children, like they get put in timeout and then they're allowed to play again. It's fantastic. So anyways, I'm going to hockey just to, like, you know, forget the world for a little bit, let there be like no issues in the world, happy days. I did not look at the schedule because, like, that's the thing about minor league hockey is, like, every week is, a theme. And usually I try to pick, like, a fun one, like a Marvel night or a Star Wars night or something like that, you know, like something I'm into. And I thought it was just, like, a regular run-of-the-mill night. I didn't realize that it was Crush Cancer night. So you're like, oh, great cause, but, like, kind of a downer. And then this is where it gets really downer because they do, like, a ceremonial puck drop every game. Usually it's some kind of, again, it goes with the theme of the night, usually, like, a fan of some kind, a longtime fan, a season ticket holder of the team, something like that. Since this weekend was all about Crush Cancer, which again is a great cause, they auction off the jerseys and all that money goes to cancer research. Good stuff. We love it. You know, very moving, very beautiful. But literally the ceremonial puck drop was a family, and one of them is a pediatric cancer patient. I shit you not, I think this kid was like 3 years old. And they trot out him and his family, and they tell their whole story. And then, like, both the teams go over there, and they're, like, taking pictures. And I'm like,
and I'd, like, be sobbing.
The way it sounds, like, this is not what I came for. I came for grown men hitting each other and putting time out over it. That's what I came for.
Not childhood cancer.
all the cancer. I was like, really? This is the vibe you're going to start this like minor league hockey game? Are you kidding me? So like, again, very noble cause, great cause. I'm happy that some, you know, money went to cancer research this weekend. But Jesus, I was like, this is such a doubt. I was like, wow, okay, now we're all crying. I guess let's do that hockey, in the infamous words of Chance the Rapper on SNL. So yeah, that was really something. Thankfully, the vibes did kind of rebound. It didn't for a minute. I'm not going to lie. The vibes were down there in the first period. So we did inevitably rebound. There were some good fights. But yes. Obviously thinking of that family, and I hope that that little boy gets the treatment that he needs and gets better. But yeah, that was just, I really did not need, I was not prepared for that. This is not what I walked in expecting. So yeah, I really felt like that should have come with a warning. I was like, wow, y'all really did me dirty like that. Anyways, that's my little tidbit of this weekend. Oh, also, in my like bringing joy to myself, I got a little treat yourself. I went down to Bath and Body Works this weekend and I bought myself some of the Princess Collection. And nobody asked for it, but I'm going to give you my quick rankings. So, not a shock. I think that like Ariel, like the Little Mermaid and Moana have the best scents because like it's very oceany, beachy, coconut. That's just kind of like, as we're starting to like transition into spring, summer, that's just the vibe I'm like going for, even though I like fall scents the best, but we're not in fall right now. So like it's a good transition into that time of year. Cinderella's is weird. It reminds me of a scent that I know, but I can't place it. I just bought a hand sanitizer of it because I would smell it and be like, I don't like it. No, I like it. No, I don't like it. And I was like, I think I like it enough that I'm going to get hand sanitizer, but like nothing more. Just like a little pocket size one of that. Tiana's is fire. It is so good. I wasn't sure if they were going to go more like floral, kind of southern, whatever vibes, or if they were going to go more into like her being a cook, like beignets, kind of make it smell like that. They went into more like floral kind of whatever, and it's so good. I bought a candle because our girl Tiana's color is green and we are about to enter March, which is St. Patrick's Day. So I'm about to decorate for St. Patty's Day in my house. So I thought green was appropriate and it just smells very spring to me. I was like, yes, fire. Love it. So she's up there for me as well. So like Moana, Tiana, Ariel is probably my ranking. Belle is nice, but it is kind of more of an autumnal scent because it's got some vanilla in it. But it's nice. So I'd put her probably after Ariel, then Cinderella, and then no offense to Jasmine, but no, last place for me personally. If you're out there and you're a Jasmine, it has nothing to do with the princess. She's fantastic. If you like that scent, great for you. But I smelled it and I was like, no, too strong.
What is it?
I can't remember. I read all of them, like what the notes were. All of them have... Well, not all of them, but most of them have like some kind of flower. Like obviously Belle has rose. That makes sense. And like I said, it's like vanilla, rose, something. Jasmine's, it just smelled, it was very strong and too floral for me. I don't like when a scent is too floral. I need it to be like light. Like Tiana's flower was water lily and it's very light. Like it's just very nice, pleasant. Yeah, Jasmine's was... I can't remember what it was, but it was too much for me. I was like, oh, nope.
Interesting.
But yeah, Cinderella's, which it was so tricky. I was like, I want to like this, but I don't know if I like it. And when you're like, everyone knows what it's like, the experience to go into Bath and Body Works when it's just you were overwhelmed with smells and then you're not even sure what you're smelling anymore. So part of me was like, I just want to like take the Cinderella one outside of the store to like smell it on my own accord, like without all these other scents. So yeah, it's nice, but it's just, I definitely think like Moana, Tiana, and Ariel have the best scents. As we're transitioning into spring and summer, I think those are the scents. I think that's the vibe. And I really wanted to get, they have like the, you know, they have like the wallflowers, they're little like basically plug-in scents. Well, each one had a different like little plug-in thing. Like Little Mermaid's is a little tail. Cinderella's is the glass slipper. Tiana's is like the little flower. And I don't even know what Jasmine was. Maybe Magic Carpet. I didn't see that one. And then Belle's was the Enchanted Rose. Half of them are already sold out by the time that I went. So it was a bummer. There were a ton of Cinderella ones left. and Little Mermaid. Those are like the only two that were left. And I was like, oh, I kind of wanted Tiana's because it was cute. All of them are cute. But I was, I don't know. I was, again, as we're entering like March time, it's like I said, Mardi Gras time, St. Patrick's Day time. Just Tiana was speaking to me. And
I get that.
Her wallflower, sadly. But I did get her candle. So happy days.
Love that.
That's been Bath & Body Works Princess Scents ranked by Bethany. Hope y'all enjoyed that segment.
That is so interesting. I have been wondering about those because obviously they sent them out to like 5 million influencers and then that comes up on my feed. I was wondering what they smelled like. And Cinderella is my favorite. So
yes, you have obviously a connection with her. It's very, it's very, I think it's worth trying. Like I think it really reminds me. I like literally got the hand sanitizer and I went out to dinner that night with a couple of friends and I was like, what does this smell like too? Because I know this scent, but I cannot place it. No one could really tell me. But yes, Bells is definitely growing. Bells was one, like I said, like when I was in the store, I was just so overwhelmed with scents. And it is a little warmer. So I was like, I don't know for this time of year, but it's growing on me. I got that hand sanitizer as well. I was like, y'all just go get a hand sanitizer. All of you except for Jasmine. Again, sorry, Jasmine, but your scent's just not for me.
Sorry, girl.
Sorry, girl.
That's a no.
We love you, though. We do. But that's just, it's going to be a no for me, Doc. I'm sorry. All right. Saying anything. The last three chapters. Here we go. Same here. And just for whatever I bought this for in hardcover, worth every penny. Apparently, when this book came out, it was 1999. And in Canada, our lovely neighbors of the north, $23.99. Worth it. Worth every penny.
The paperback, I'm pretty sure I bought, I'm not pretty sure, I know for a fact that I bought this used, but initially, it was only $10.99.
Oh, what a steal. That's
what a steal. Like, what year was that? When was the last time a book was $11?
Honestly, what is that? 2013? 2015. I can't remember. 2015. Yeah.
And this one was published in 2016, it looks like.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
I like also, I'm just reading the inside of this for the first time, apparently, ever. But I like that it basically has like little like tags almost. I'm going to say tags because again, I'm a fanfic girl. What can I say? But it's basically like little things that can be under. And I like that it's 1, family problems, fiction. 2, brothers and sisters, fiction. 3, self-perception, fiction. 4, friendship, fiction. 5, family life, fiction. 6, dating, in parentheses, social customs, fiction. I like that in the book world, that's what it considers this book. I was like, oh, that's funny. I've never read that. I've never noticed that before until this moment.
Social customs.
Yeah. LOL. Social customs. / fiction. That's fantastic. I love it.
I forgot how wonderful the dedication is.
Yes. Isn't it so good?
So good.
From now on, anyone who's ever going on a date, I want you to just be like, I'm participating in social customs tonight. What are you doing tonight? Social customs.
Social customs.
That's so good. I truly love that. Alrighty. Where were we? Chapter 24? Is that correct? No. Yes?
Yes, it is correct.
Okay, because there's 26 chapters? No. Wait. What? Yes, that's correct. There's 26 chapters. We are reading the last 3 today. Okay. Woo! Nailed it! Nailed
it! Here we go.
Here we go. I'm excited. Chapter 24.
Here we go. Okay. So chapter 24, mom is feeling bad because she didn't let her go. She's not letting her go to the, bye. Where did that go? Go. The showcase. Thank you.
I was like, bye. Okay. Bye, sisters.
My thoughts just like, I just watched them. I was like, bye, see you later.
Nice to know ya.
So yeah, she feels bad because she can't go to the showcase, but not bad enough that she's gonna let her go to the showcase. This whole beginning part is pretty much about how like her parents are basically like, you're going to be moving out. You're moving out. You're getting a job and you're moving out. Like, you can't stay here, basically. And
to be clear,
to Ames. Yeah, yeah. To Ames.
They're like, I'm buying. They're like, Cindy, we are so mad at you that we're kicking you out of the house.
They're like, one sip of alcohol, you're done. You're done. Figure it out on your own. Yes, kicking Ames out. This conversation that he's having where she's like, Ames is like clueless to her mom, clueless to her dad's like temperament. And she's like, at one point, she's like, there's nothing out there, Ames told him, buttering his bread. He had a lot to learn. At the very least, he should stop eating. And that's so funny. Also, like, relatable, because it's like, yeah, when you're getting scolded, you just, like, yeah, kind of sit there. You just take it.
Take it. You just, yeah.
But they basically tell him, like, you need to be out immediately. This, like, chapter, like, goes back and forth, like, so much.
Yeah.
It really is like a jumper. Do you remember that movie?
Yes, I do remember that movie. That movie is responsible for, did they get married? I can't remember. At least a life. They had a child together. That movie is responsible for a whole child being born. So you know what? Thanks, Jumper.
Probably not the only one.
Probably not the only one. Did they get married? I know they're not together anymore. Hayden Christensen and what's her name? Rachel Bilson. But they were together. I'm gonna look this up now. This is not important, but it will bother me, people. So I will have to know now if they were actually married or if they, it just says partner from 2007 to 2017. So I don't think they ever got married. There we go. The more you know. But they were together for a whole decade and had a child.
Wow, that's crazy. So,
there you go. We can all thank the movie Jumper for that.
Thanks, Jumper. Okay, it's the night of the showcase. She goes upstairs. She's like, she's gonna video chat with Irv. What is wrong with me? With Irv and during their set. So she's texting Mac and Layla back and forth. Layla is like, Eric just informed me that my outfit isn't meta enough. which was hilarious. Mac is like, our soundtrack sucked and everyone's fighting. So they're just trying to go. I mean, she's just going back and forth between two conversations. They're nervous. Mac wants to smack Eric for the common good.
Fair.
And then Layla says, not right without you. Wish you were here. And then Mac says, rather be at Commons Park with you. And she says, it was dizzying carrying on both these conversations at once. So I was grateful that I could give them each the same answer. Me too.
Aww, we love that.
We love that. Like, we are literally putting the romantic and the friendship in, yes, like, the same context here, which, yes, I love.
Yes, equal importance. And that's beautiful. Mm-hmm.
Yes. So she watches the showcase. Irv FaceTimes her, or hi there's her.
Yeah, get it right. Hi there's her. And don't you forget. Hi there. Can we hi there later? Yeah, sure.
I'll hi there you when we get home.
Yeah, perfect.
Are we losing our minds?
I think a little bit. 2025, man. This is what it's doing to us.
So Irv says the first band sucked. And so then they get on stage. Eric is, first of all, in a fedora. And second of all, makes his grand entrance through the crowd, which is just, like,
perfect. I love that. That's so Eric. It was
perfect. I was like, this, yep. Sarah, you nailed it. I keep, like, thinking Andrew's looking at me in the corner of my eye when I look over there, and he's not looking at me. And so I'm so sorry, everyone, that I just keep looking over there at him.
You're like, is he staring at me? Is he staring at me? I'm just trying to record. And they're like, no, he's not.
Just... No, he's not. He's minding his own damn business. Yeah.
I'm still a little paranoid. It's fine.
It's fine. Everything's fine. My nervous system is chilling. Okay.
Chilling like perfect. A villain.
So after midnight, after all the bands performed, she is talking about how Ames is banging and slamming and packing in an angry way. And mom comes to the door and she's like, Ames is leaving in the morning. And she's like, is everything okay? And she's like, yes, it was. Dad's like, yes, it was a mutual decision. I'm going to say it probably was not.
No.
But love it. So yeah, he goes nuts. He's throwing all his shit. He's having a temper tantrum, really. She goes in his room at one point when he goes out for a smoke break, and she looks through some of his pictures. A lot of them are of Peyton and then Ames and Marla, which, like, I would love to know Marla's story. Marla, what do you have going on?
Yeah.
Tell me about you. There's one from Peyton's graduation dinner at Luna Blue. Shout out.
Shout out. I hope they have some fried pickles.
Me too. So then she gets a beep on her phone, and it is Mac, and he's texted her that on way to hospital, my mom, it's bad. And I wrote, Sarah, no.
Yeah. And this is where I lost my goddamn mind when I was like, I swear to God, Sarah.
I was like, don't do this to me. Don't do this to me. Do this to me.
Don't you dare. I was stressing. Oh, stressing.
So she says, there's a lot you can do with a phone, send a message or a picture, get the weather, news, or horoscope, see and talk to someone in real time, play games, pay for parking. One thing technology still hasn't mastered, though, was the actual act of being there. I'd been all right with settling for distance with the showcase, but not this. So she's like, I'm not even asking permission. She writes her mom a note. She's like, if I was to be sent, she said, it seemed important, though, that for this last argument, I get to have my say. If I was to be sentenced, I wanted the details of my crime to be clear. So she's like, I'm going to the hospital. I'm going to be there for my friends. I'm doing this because I'm a good friend, not a bad daughter. She leaves it on the keyboard and she goes downstairs. She's heading to the garage. She doesn't think anyone is awake. And then someone is awake. And this is where Ames finally loses his shit and fully attacks her. Mm-hmm. Yeah. She's like fighting him. She's like, leave me alone. He's obviously stronger than her. I don't know why I say obviously. He's stronger than her. And she is like screaming, Bola. He's basically like forcing kisses. Like he's doing the whole thing, man. This is sexual assault. And then dad shows up, gets him in a headlock, pulls him back. He's like, what were you going to do? What were you going to do? And I was like, oh shit. Dad's here. You're fucked.
Sir, this is the man that you all let your daughter alone with. Look at your life. Look at your choices. Yikes.
Yeah, this could have been avoided, but glad you were there to yell at him and put him in a headlock. That was really fun for me to see.
Yes.
I did like that. but dad pulls him back with the headlock. Mom's like, what's going on? She starts going downstairs. And basically, Sydney's like, I don't have time for this, and just leaves and goes to the hospital. She's like, whatever, my mom will probably just end up following me. So I'm just going to leave the door open, whatever. she said at every spotlight across town to the hospital, she was checking her phone for Mac, but no messages, and her mom, I think, too. She gets to U General. She finds the floor and the room number. she, during this, is kind of having a moment where she's picturing at the same time what her mom is doing in that moment. So she's like, with each thing I did, pushing the button for 9, watching the floor numbers climb, taking those first steps down the scuffed, worn linoleum of the hallway, I imagined another action happening as well. My mom awakened by the sound of the scuffle downstairs or our voices, seeing my father and Ames in the kitchen before spinning to look for me, going to my room, finding the note, scrambling into her clothes, and then getting in the car to follow me. Two lives moving separately, but about to intersect soon, not unlike Peyton and David Ibarra on another night. And I'm going to keep reading. I'm so sorry. In any moment, there were so many chances for paths to cross and people to clash, come together, or do any number of things in between. It was amazing we could live it all, knowing all that could occur purely by chance. But what was the alternative? That's like so Sarah. Mm-hmm. That is like so Sarah. I love that whole paragraph.
Yeah, that is just, oh, chef's kiss. It's so good.
Classic Sarah.
So what was the alternative? Yeah, gosh, Sarah. To have amazing. An ounce of that talent, I wish.
I know, literally. So she gets to the door and she feels her phone buzz, but she ignores it. She walks in. Everybody's kind of standing vigil around Mrs. Chatham, who's in the hospital bed. She is alive, oxygen mask on.
Thank God.
Layla notices her and she says, as our eyes met, I thought again of that long ago afternoon in the courthouse when faced with the scariest of things, all you want is to turn away, hide in your own invisible place, but you can't. That's why it's not only important for us to be seen, but to have someone to look for us as well. Again, classic Sarah.
Classic.
Amazing.
Ugh, so good.
And she ends this chapter holding their hands and comforting them because she's a good friend.
This chapter is like, I don't know what, like 7 pages, but like, holy shit. So much goes down.
So much happens.
It is very intense. And I was thinking, like, obviously, we all knew from jump that Ames was a creeper McCreeperston and like he was going to try something on her. He was just waiting for the opportunity. And it's so interesting. Like, obviously, I wish they would have never let him come into their house, but like, obviously, I was so happy that the parents were finally kicking him out. But I knew, and I was like, it would seem to him like, this is my chance. Like, this is my last chance to do this. Like, I'm leaving, whatever. And he sees her. It's late at night. But I was like, honestly, what a night. Like, what a traumatic evening from jump. And, like, how much of this was. But also in a weird way, like, how I feel like so much of it probably didn't register to her at first. Because she was so, like, I have to get to the hospital. This thing is happening, whatever. And in a weird way, that kind of kept her, like her mind safe from processing certain things. But I've got to imagine that like that next day or just like, holy shit, like that happened. Like that happened to me. And that's like terrible. And obviously, I mean, they kind of go into, you know, like her parents in the next chapter, like recommending going to therapy and stuff. And it's like, yeah, because like that was a heck of a night. Like a lot of things. And not just the fact, that's one night. Like that's all the trauma that she's dealt with the last, I mean, you know, basically since everything went down with Peyton. So yeah, that's just a lot, but yeah, so many good Sarah-isms there. Like, you know, this is my favorite thing about getting to the end of a Sarah Destin novel is like, you know, like the whole, like the themes and the motifs that she's been building through all book, like you're going to get like these really good, like wrap up chapters. And I have to say that Saint Anything did not disappoint. I'm going to get like nitpicky with, not the book, the book did not disappoint, but, other things, I guess, kind of, I'm still a little bit disappointed in her parents. I feel like I would have been mad if this book ended with them like fully having like, we've realized everything, whatever, like they do come to terms with things and she gets on better terms with them. And I think it's realistic that her parents don't completely change overnight. Cause that's just not going to happen. But I still, like, I feel like a lot of the times when I finish a Destin book, I'm at least like, I understood where the parent is coming from. I kind of am sympathetic to their plight. Even at the end of this, even though I'm happy that, like, they all kind of, like, had their, like, come together and chat moment, I still was like, I'm a little mad at y'all. And I think that that's, like, okay, though. Like, I think that that's, like, an allowed feeling. But I was like, I'm still a little peeve that y'all, like, just completely forgot you had a daughter for the last, like, you know, year of your life or whatever.
Right.
And the way that you treated her, but, you know, it's fine. But yes, that takes us to chapter 25, which this one also kind of, like, jumps around a little bit as well. But it starts off with,
this is the one that jumps.
Yeah, with our girl Sydney. She has gifted Layla the trifecta. Some of her favorite kind of fast food fries and stuff, because obviously she's been going through it because her mother is in the hospital. So she's still there. She's in the hospital sleeping. She apparently had a mild heart attack, to which the other recent episodes had been leading. She's not awake a lot, but when she is, you know, she like basically is kind of checking in with everyone and also occasionally apparently getting updates on Big New York and Los Angeles. These are the important things. You do need to keep up on what's going on your, comfort reality TV shows. So she's, there, you know, again, basically she's always surrounded by someone, one of her children, you know, one of the friends, and whatnot. And she says that it was hard to believe it had been less than a full day since we'd all gathered here on a different night in another darkness. You always lost track of time in places like this, or so I'd heard. So, of course, Layla's like, oh, my goodness, thank you so much. Like, this is the all the good stuff. And, of course, she even has, you know, her ketchups to go with it and all of that. And she says, I look at Sydney's like, I thought you might like it. And Layla responds, I'm honored to buy it, which is great. That's just so Layla, and I love that for her. So then here we are. She says, Sydney says that, you know, she was tired, more so than I can remember ever being. With everything that happened the last 24 hours, I barely slept other than a couple hours grabbed that morning between a talk with my parents and returning to the hospital. So this is how we kind of talk about what the parents are talking about. Apparently Sawyer was called because, again, their daughter was attacked. And again, like, her rich parents, their first response is like, lawyer up, baby, which, like, is fair. But I like that, like, that was like one of their first things of action. So yes, Ames, all of his stuff has been, you know, chucked out of the house. Basically, obviously her parents were already done with him, and now they're, like, extremely done with him. She says that, like, even though she knew everything was gone, like, she still went to hit, like, Peyton's old room to, like, check. It was like, she just said, like, make sure, like, you know, like, when you're, like, checking for the boogeyman, like, he's really not here. Everything's gone. Right. So she kind of checks and everything was, basically her parents leave it to her, up to her, whether or not to press charges, which I'm gonna, like, at least respect them on that for letting her have the agency in that decision. And they said, she says, as well as see the psychologist, my mom insisted I visit both with her and my dad and alone, which I think, yes, so healthy, go to therapy. And I think this family also needs some family counseling. So I'm 100% on board with that. She says it's just the first step in dealing with what had happened that night and the months leading up to it. Cause yes, like, obviously, like I said, that one night was traumatic, enough for, I think, anyone to deal with. And she's been dealing with months of traumatic stuff. So anywho, she says that, she obviously, like, wasn't there when her mom came downstairs and, like, talked to Ames and they officially threw him out or anything like that, because she was off, like, with Mrs. Chatham. But to be a fly on that wall, I would love to know how that conversation went. Would love to know. But yes, she says that, you know, there she was at the hospital, all that went down. And then she says, you know, but I, like, I wouldn't have wanted to be anywhere else, whatever it would cost me. And I didn't know the entirety of the sum yet. I already knew it was worth it, like, going to be with them, which, yes, which I love in, like, the last chapter. And she says, like, this is just being a good friend. It doesn't make me a bad daughter. And it's like, yes, those two, like, I don't know. I love that line. And I was like, yes, that's so 100% accurate. She says it's around 2 a.m. that she starts, like, worrying about her mom. Because, again, she kind of expected her to, like, basically, like she said in the last chapter, like, she left the door open expecting her to just, like, come right after her. So she was kind of, you know, like, honestly concerned that she wasn't there. Mrs. Chatham obviously wakes up. Everything seems, like, good. So she decides that she's going to kind of, like, step out for a minute now that she knows that, like, they're okay. And when she steps out into the hallway, her mom is there. Like, she's just sitting there waiting in the hallway. She says she was right outside the door in a metal chair against the wall, so close that if I'd been looking, I might have glimpsed her from inside. Apparently, just like her, she'd arrived. She'd asked after Mrs. Chatham, found out her room number, and then just kind of, like, waited there. She says that, although she was shaken by what happened with Ames and finally understood my protest about being alone with him, yes, thank you, she'd still been upset with me for leaving the house. All she wanted was to get me out of here. And so then Sydney asks, like, well, why didn't you then? Like, you found me, but you just, like, sat here. And she says, I was going to. I had every intention of dragging you out of there by your hair if it came to that. And so Sydney's like, okay, so why didn't you? And she says, I saw you. Me surrounded by people I cared about, me being a good person, a good friend, all the things she prided herself on having taught me. After so many months of looking at me only in the context of my brother, finally in the bright institutional light, my mother had glimpsed me simply as Sydney with no precedent or comparison, which, like, yes, which I think the line, like, I saw you, considering the whole concept of this book, is, like, perfect. And, like, again, Sarah just being Sarah and being just so clever. But it's like, yes, finally, like, again, for months, she's been like, okay, you don't know these people, come meet these people. Okay, you want this? Well, I'm going to have them come over to the house. You can see me with them. Like, they're good people. And finally, after months and months of back and forth, and we know what's best for you, and we're only seeing you through the lens of your brother who did bad things, she sees her and she's like, oh, yeah, like, she's exactly where she said she was going to be. She's doing exactly what she said she was going to, which is be a good friend. Like, how can I fault her for that? I'm going to let her have her moment. And it's like, yeah, thank you. Exactly. So she says, basically, you know, Peyton had always been there coloring the view, big, vibrant colors first, then grays and darkness of the last couple of years. But in that moment, surrounded by people she didn't know in a strange room and place, I was the opposite of invisible, the sole thing she recognized. And with that came an understanding of what I've been trying to tell her for so long. I was different from my brother, and maybe that meant that she now could be different too. And it's like, yes, thank you. So mom, again, being a decent person, obviously asks after Mrs. Chatham, asks if she's okay. And she's like, yeah, you know, like, she's not great, but she'll be fine. Like, in the grand scheme of life, she will be okay. And then basically they go home. They have that conversation in the morning. As she says, again, this is a very jumpy chapter. Which apparently, again, I wish we could have gotten a little bit more of this conversation, but I also think it's probably best that we didn't, like, it's best, it's probably, like, better left up to our imaginations. She says that they didn't talk about just that night. They talked about everything. They talked about Peyton. They talked about, you know, how, like, her life has been, how she's been so lonely, why she chose to switch to Jackson, her new friend group, and they even talk about David Ibarra, which I'm, like, I will say I'm very proud of her mother for actually broaching that topic. So I'm gonna give her that one. She says that when talking got hard, and it did, I think back to the one moment in the hospital hallway. I was used to my mother always having a plan. This time was different. So they had a nice little moment, basically. She says you get used to people being a certain way. You depend on it. And when they surprise you, for better or worse, it can shake you to your core. My mother had always been tough, so fierce and protective. I would never have thought seeing her fall apart would be anything but devastating. So her mom kind of just, like, falls apart, and obviously she kind of sees her mom as the strong one, and it's like, yeah, I mean, y'all have really been through it, and I'm glad that y'all are talking, and that we're talking about going to therapy. This is very good. So for once, Sydney kind of gets to be the strong one while her mom falls apart. She says, you know, like, her mom kind of doesn't take well to it at first, and then slowly she kind of, you know, gives into her hug. She says, our embrace was awkward, her hair in my face, one of my ankles slightly twisted, the way the most vulnerable and precious of things can be, but we were there together. And in the next room, I could hear that monitor beeping, keeping track of another heart's beat and giving enduring solid proof of our own. Yeah. So man, you know, there we go. Mrs. Chatham is okay. Her and her mom are beginning to talk things out. Again, like, I am sympathetic to her mom. Like, I understand she has been through a lot. And I understand that also, like, her coping mechanism is being, she's a planner. She's a doer. She has to stay strong. I get that. But can I just say, okay, before, all right, I'm going to go on a small tangent. We're almost done, guys. I promise. You only have one chapter left. So I'm allowed this one small tangent. So I think most other people in America watch the Gabby Petito docuseries on Netflix this past weekend, because there was a case that obviously, you know, really kind of when it happened a couple of years back, really took over the news, and we were all, you know, watching it. People were investigating it online in real time, you know, scouring footage and realizing that they'd been right next to the van and all that crazy stuff. So anyways, it was something that I was invested in at the time. And so I've, you know, the docuseries I wanted to watch to see, like, what, you know, bits and bobs that we didn't know at the time, now that, you know, in retrospect, we can look at. And one of the things was obviously, like, I understand all children love their, or all children, well, yes, most children love their parents, but all parents, like, love their children theoretically. Like, you're supposed to, don't have kids, you know, theoretically. My favorite saying is, don't have kids if you don't want kids. Unfortunately, not a lot of people live up to that very simple premise, I think. But anywho, so you know how, like, boy moms get a bad rap sometimes, and we're like, this is why, like, cringe boy mom culture, whatever. Watching this documentary, I was like, oh, like, she's, like, such a cringy boy mom, and, like, it's, like, very, like, unhealthy. Like, her relationship with her son is, like, unhealthy. And, like, honestly, that's the vibe that I get with this mom in this book, where it's just like, oh, like, she's a cringy boy mom. Like, she is just obsessed with her son, and her daughter is, like, her inferior child. And I don't think she's doing that intentionally, obviously. But yeah, it was just weird. When I was, like, watching that, I was like, yeah, it's, like, cringy boy moms. Like, again, there's one thing of being a mom to a boy, and then there's being a boy mom. Like, they're two completely different things. Like, a boy mom, TM. And yeah, like, this mom just, like, gives off those vibes where it's like, my little baby boy. And it's like, it's an unhealthy, this is an unhealthy relationship that you have with your son.
Your little baby boy killed his girlfriend, so...
Yes. And then this is what happens. Little baby boy, like, is a bad person because they're, like, not to put the blame all on the mothers. Okay. Like, obviously they're their own person,
right?
Their own agency, and they're the ones making the bad choices. But, like, yeah, it's just,
it's just definitely enabled. Yes, like, the, their behavior is enabled by the, by the boy mom for sure.
Or by, you know, the hashtag boy mom TM culture.
Yeah.
And I just, and, like, people that post weird things, like, when they have, like, a 2-year-old son and they're like, no woman's ever going to love him the way I do. And, like, I remember I had him first, like, and I'm like, ew, it's gross. It's toxic. Please don't do that. Like, ew, like, you want your kid to grow up and be happy. And, like, what, like, that is what you should strive for. And I hate that. Like, he's always going to be mine. Like, oh, that's gross.
It's so creepy. And it's, as you said, it's extremely unhealthy. People post it all the time, and it with pictures of their, like, small children, and it's like
okay, it's like a normal thing, and I'm like, you know, that's not normal, right? Like, please go talk to someone. Like, please go seek therapy. Like, y'all are gonna need it one day. I'm just saying.
Insane. So the final
two childless women judge parents again. Sorry. It just is. It is. Okay. It's disturbing behavior. All right. I'm sorry. Carrying on. The final chapter.
Final chapter. Mac is asking her if she's ready. She says, as I'll ever be. It had been 2 months since the night of the showcase. A new year had begun. Mrs. Chatham was home and recuperating.
Bless you, Thank Sarah. You. Bless you.
Thank you. Brilliant or Catastrophic did not win the showcase, unfortunately, but they did attract the interest of a local studio owner who was recording a real demo in exchange for Eric doing grunt work, which Eric obviously loves. So he's like more intolerable than ever, which is great. Sydney basically says she was walking into the hospital room at one point with all of her usual provisions, and she saw Layla, like, cuddling with Eric, basically.
It's happening.
It's happening. It's happening. She says she didn't say anything, but a few weeks later when they officially announced they were a couple, I made it a point to act surprised. So that's very cute. She wasn't like, what's happening here? You know, which I might have done. So
yeah, she's definitely better than me. She's, yeah, she's a bigger person than I am.
I love the tea.
Yeah, same. 100%.
So her and her mom worked out a compromise. She has her lunches free, but she works 3 days at Kiger, which is good because she still, it keeps Jen and her in contact, and Meredith often shows up. It went unsaid that Margaret, while still in the picture, was not invited. That seems so long ago. That seems like a different
book. I know. I was like, wow, we've been reading this for months, I guess.
Yes, we've been reading this for months.
So happens to be 2 chapters at a time, y'all. You know, it's fine.
Sorry.
Sorry.
Yep, she still had time to hang out with Layla, go to the super thrift, get fries, and she was still delivering pizzas with Mac. Mr. Chatham said she had a knack for the business. I'd honestly never been more flattered, she says. She does decide not to press charges against Ames. And Ames was apparently threatening to press charges against her dad for hurting him.
Please. You deserved it, just so we're clear.
Yeah, you were attacking someone. Mm-hmm. So then she talks about how her brother actually calls her cell phone pretty often so that they can have like their own conversations separate from her mom. She said, sometimes the pauses in silence felt heavy enough to break me. But when all else failed, we had big New York to fall back on. She said, I even talked to around to team A. What do you think?
I don't know. Ever since this name has been brought up, I'm like, is it R? Avery? Irie?
Is it Avery?
Avery?
How do you pronounce?
Yeah, I now need to know.
I need to know.
I feel dumb, but it's a weird name, right? Like, there's too many vowels, like too many vowel sounds going on in one name.
Yes. How like, do you pronounce A-Y-R-E?
What is this?
Hold on, I gotta disconnect.
Air?
Well, let's try that again.
Air.
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 Air. It just sounds like air, but with a fancy accent.
Air.
Air.
Oh, it's still playing.
Air. Okay. Team Air, that's what someone's name is. I shouldn't judge, whatever. Name people whatever you want to name them. And it's a fictional character, but Air?
Right. Yeah. Sarah finds the interesting names always.
She really does. I'm telling you. Air.
So Peyton and Mom are working on their relationship. She's actually like giving him space and being healthy, which I love. Peyton is starting to run, so they are kind of bonding over that because Mom ran cross country in college. So they're
new
like
new lore about Mom Unlocked. Yes. I was like, here in like the last chapter, Sarah, you're gonna drop this lore.
I know.
I was like, oh, Julie. Okay, Julie, cross country in college, go off, queen. Love that for you.
But she did visit and she enjoyed the calls. But yeah, she gave him space he needed. She's also found a new cause to busy herself with that sounds like it's kind of ending up as a job. She returned to visit with Miss Chatham. She's trying to help. She talks about insurance issues and the lack of outreach at U General. Basically what we were talking about when this hospital came up in the first place, which is like it's a poor people hospital, so they don't care. Mm-hmm. And this kind of lights a new passion within Julie, and she...
Yes, use your powers for good, Julie. This is what we like to see.
Yes. Healthy channeling.
Mm-hmm.
But this led not only to her volunteering and patient relations, but to the prospect of a paid position. My mom loved a worthy cause, and at U General, she'd never again have a shortage of them, which is kind of sad.
Yeah, that's very sad, to be honest. But that's America for you, the American health system.
It's so great.
It's great. 10 out of 10, would recommend.
Peyton got his sentence reduced slightly. He will be out in 10 months. And then after that, he goes to a halfway house for 6 weeks, and then he has to find a job and housing. And he's training for a 10K. Good for you. Okay. Another family day was coming up, and basically Sydney and Peyton decided that she's going to go by herself, and they're going to have like their own visit. Right?
Yeah. She's going to go by herself this time, which I was like, yeah, she's finally going to visit. And I love that it's by herself, and like, she doesn't have the pressure of like her parents being there. Like, it can just be like her and her brother and like whatever they want it to be. And that's great, in my opinion.
100%. She says that at home, her and her parents are like finding a new flow. Mac finally admitted to dad that he wants to go to college. And Layla read a business book, and now she is a business genius. And so it's like clear now that she could take over the family business. And Sydney says, that was just it. You never knew what lay ahead. The future was one thing that could never be broken because it had not yet had the chance to be anything. One minute you're walking through a dark woods alone, and then the landscape shifts and you see it. Something wondrous and unexpected, almost magical, that you never would have found had you not kept going. Like a new friend who feels like an old one, or a memory you'll never forget. Maybe even a carousel. Adorbs. And then this is where we see that Mrs. Chatham gave her advice. She said, you should talk to him. You should start with, I'm sorry. For a while, she is thinking that she's talking about Peyton, and she's confused. And then she realizes that that's not who she's talking about. I like this little interlude where Layla texts her, and she's like, at the studio with Eric. He is literally strutting, showing me around. Oh, my God. And Sydney's like, you love it. And she's like, I swear I do not. But you know that she does.
Deep down.
You know
deep
that
down.
She does. She
loves it. Yes, 100%.
She's bringing pizza home for dinner. So they pull up in front of David Ibarra's house. Mac's like, do you want me to go with you, basically? And she's like, no, I need this to be difficult. I need to do this on my own. She walks up to the house, rings the doorbell, and David Ibarra opens the door and says, did we order a pizza? And she says, not exactly. I'm Sydney Stanford. Can I come in? And that's where it ends.
That's where it ends. Can I say that we had guessed, we hypothesized a while back that we're like, she has to meet him before the end of this novel. And then as it was winding down and it wasn't happening, and I was like, did I hypothesize about that wrong? And then as we entered the last chapter, I was like, aha, I know exactly where this is ending. And I love it. I love that it ends where she is clearly finally ready to go talk to him, but I love that we don't see it. Like, I think that's perfect. I don't think we need it to be there. That's exactly where to end it. Sarah, phenomenal. As for you. I'm so sad to see saying anything. Again, this is one I had not read yet before we started reading it for the pod. And I am so, I mean, obviously I shouldn't be shocked because I've liked all of Sarah Dessen's novels, but this one is like climbing up the rankings for me. I think this is a really, really good one. One that I would like recommend to people, one that I would reread. Like, it is a little heavier, so it's like gonna be a little bit of, it's not like the most fun reread. It's not like, you know, certain ones that you're like, oh, it's a fun little jaunty time to revisit, but I think an important novel. And it was great.
It was really good.
It's everything I wanted it to be and more. There were, you know, some social customs. There were.
There were a ton of social customs that were discussed.
There's, you know, some young love, some family stuff, Dessen moms being Dessen moms. Again, I'm still like a little bit bitter at her, but I do understand where she's coming from. And I'm glad that she's like Regina Georging it where, yeah, she's like channeling the thing that kind of was bad about her and turning it into a good thing. So we love that for her. That is great. And that's it, guys. Let's say anything. That's it. We did that's it.
Oh, we did it. Yes, this was a really good one, a really important one.
Yeah,
definitely heavy to reread, but it has reread power.
Yeah, it was very good. Very happy that to have gone on that journey with all of you. And next week will be chaos, and then we'll be time traveling and starting our next novel the following week. I'm actually pulling out a calendar right now to figure out scheduling. So that's that week, then chaos. So yeah, we'll be doing, actually I think that'll work. Okay, hold on. So if next week is chaos, then it's book, then it's chaos, then it's book, then yes, while we are in Screaming in the Woods, we would be preparing for a chaos week. So yeah, I think the first, on April Fool's Day, y'all get a little special chaos bonus of our shenanigans in the woods.
That's exciting. I'm excited for that.
I'm very excited. Yeah, that's about it. I hope everyone has a great week. Hang in there. At least we're almost through another month of this year. And go smell some Princess Scents, the Bath and Body Works. So let me know your faves. Comment, let me know whether you listen to us or you watch us on YouTube and you've made it all the way to the end. Please let me know what your favorite scents are in the Princess Collection of Bath and Body Works. Inquiring minds need to know.
Like, comment, subscribe to everything. Give us reviews. Tell us you love us. Yes. Don't tell us you don't like us. We care about compliments. That. Keep that to yourself. Yeah, keep that to yourself.
Keep that as an inside thought. Times are tough. Give me something to look forward to in life.
Yes, please. Anyway, well, have a great week, everyone.
Bye. Take care of yourselves. Jinx. Bye.